The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life also. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let's just pray together. O Lord, may this passage speak to us tonight and transform our lives. Lead us, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know if you can recall, in the beginning of John chapter 10, Jesus paints a picture, and I'm going to use his example tonight, and with a bit of guidance from a good friend, I'm going to paint this illustration for you. I don't know if you've ever watched Richie Rich. Like the young people probably go, yes, I can remember Richie Rich. You know, or if you've ever gone to a very fancy VIP ball or worked at a VIP ball, you might understand where this comes from a little. But in Richie Rich, I can remember as a little boy watching this TV program, this movie, wanting to be Richie Rich, wanting to live in that kind of house where at a drop of a hat, anything I could possibly desire was given to me. The little like car to drive around with on the lawn outside, you know, anything that you can possibly think of. Or that VIP ball that you go to and you are one of the waitrons or the kitchen staff or the person at the door welcoming in these guys with these great suits and the ladies with these long dresses. And you just stand at the door all day, watching them have a ball inside, excuse the pun. But enjoying the food and having an absolutely fabulous time. But there's a different side of the story as well. And if you remember the rich man, poor man illustration that's been used quite often, it's often you're standing at the outside of this very nice clothing store. And on the inside of the store, you'll see a family with quite a bit of money buying fancy clothes. And you're standing on the outside of this window watching this family buy clothes. And you can just see the little brats on the inside receiving the Nike shoes and stuff. And they're like, I don't like the color. The laces are too long. The shoes reflect into my eyes. I don't like it. Yet you're standing outside just like, it's fine, I'll have your used shoes. Can I have some of that? Now keep that picture in your mind. This is what Jesus was talking about in John 10, verse 16. I'll read it again for you. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. In that brief moment, Jesus is standing inside the store with the family and the spoiled brats, the Jews, receiving all the gifts from God, and the Jews abusing those gifts. The Jews abusing God's protection and guidance through this life. The Jews walking around in the shop going, "Now I like this pair of shoes more than what I like the shop owner." Jesus is standing inside the shop, inside that fold, and he's trying to sort them out. And we can read some of the parables where inside the temple courts they are selling and cheating people, and that makes Jesus quite angry inside the fold, and he throws his toys out the cot and kicks them out of the temple. In other cases, the Pharisees, those inside the shop, are teaching others really dodgy stuff. And Jesus, inside the shop, is trying to sort out the people inside the shop first. And that's why in some of the parables we read where the Gentiles and those outside of the Jewish fold come and ask Jesus for healing and that kind of thing. And he says, I have first come for the house of Israel. And then we remember the story of the woman begging, but Lord, let the crumbs off your table. Can't I have some of that too? And Jesus grants it to her, the healing of her daughter. So we need to remember this, that Jesus first came for the house of Israel. He first came to sort out the guys inside the shop. And then in this verse, this massive statement, while he was speaking to the people inside the shop, he goes, hey, Pharisees, hey, teachers of the law, hey, Jews, do you see the guys outside the store watching from a distance, wanting my guidance as the good shepherd, wanting an intimate relationship with God, my provision, my care? I must bring them inside also. And these Jews were obviously like, hell no. Like, we are not sharing anything with them. And Jesus goes, no. I must bring them also. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. An amazing thing is that from in the store, from in the fold of Israel, God raised up a man from in the fold to come and bring salvation to those in and outside the fold. And if you don't understand this, hopefully this will help you understand it a bit better. For years, about 4,000 years, people inside of the fold were trying to get to know the shop owner more and more and more. But they couldn't. They built this massive barrier between those inside and those outside. But Jesus fulfilled every single requirement to break the glass window. To break that separation between Jew and Gentile. And there were 350 odd requirements. Now for the youngsters, you kind of know what a biometric scanner is, right? And even for like the older ones, we might get it. But a biometric scanner is this machine where you kind of walk in and it scans you. And checks you out, like, into the finest detail. And, like we see this in the movie, that you know, in order to get into the bank vault, you know, I think it was the latest 007, they had to fake this biometric scanner and, like, fake the dude's, like, biometrics. But they couldn't, so they had to hack into the program that designed the biometrics of this particular person. Jesus walks in to the biometric scanner, it scans. Prophecy number one, tick. Prophecy number two, tick. Prophecy number three, tick. 350 prophecies later, the biometric scanner is like, okay, 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 pass. Glass shatters. The vault opens, and those inside and those outside the vault can meet Jesus, can have an intimate relationship with him, and with the Father. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Like, when I read this and wrote it down, I was like, I hope they get how awesome this is. Like, you know that I play golf, but like, come on. I can't, like, at a drop of a hat become Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods. Jesus was the guy that fulfilled every single prophecy, every single requirement to be our good shepherd and our savior. In his time, there were a lot of guys that said, hey, I'm the Messiah, follow me. And they got like perks, serious perks. To this day, we even get that. Where people say, hey, follow this religion or that religion. It'll lead you into heaven. If Jesus is the only one, ever to fulfill every single requirement to become our good shepherd, to break that glass window. And so for tonight, you're probably sitting here going, great. He fulfilled 350 prophecies. He broke this glass window that you're talking about and kind of merged the Jews and the Gentiles. But you know that he did that for you? He did that for you sitting here tonight. He fulfilled every single prophecy so that you and I may have an intimate relationship with God. And can I just revert back to this text? John 10:16, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. Have we any Jews here tonight? Like seriously, if you were like from a Jewish lineage, just like, hey, this is me. Not one, eh? So technically speaking, we are all people outside the glass window. We are the sheep that he's talking about. I have other sheep that aren't of this fold. Jesus fulfilled 350 odd prophecies so that you and I outside of the fold can have a relationship with him and with the Father. He even fulfilled 300 prophecies so that the Jews can have a relationship with him, but 90% of them didn't want to listen to him. They wanted to stone him and kill him, and eventually did. The Jews didn't see it. The Gentiles saw it from the outside. They saw what kind of life we could have inside of a relationship with God. And Jesus says these words, I must bring them also. Not like I feel like it, maybe. I must break through that glass and go to them. And any Jews who want to join me to go and fetch Gentiles and bring them into a relationship with God. And hopefully tonight we have 50 odd people who say, yes, come and fetch me. I'm in need of your guidance. I want to live that kind of life inside the shop. Now let me kind of elaborate on life inside the shop a little. Life inside the shop, I do not promise, is going to be sunshine, moon, and roses. It's not going to be, you give your life to Jesus, you kind of walk into the shop with them, and he goes, hey, red Ferrari, there's one, pick one, go. I'm not promising that at all. What I am promising is you will have someone leading you, guiding through every single day life. Regardless of where you're at, he is the good shepherd. If you missed last week's sermon and you wanted to find out why he is the good shepherd, go and download it. It's on the website and listen to it again. But in a nutshell, he claimed to be the good shepherd because he was the only person in history to fulfill 350 prophecies and die for you. Die for you. On Friday night, we did Youth Alpha with the teens, and we did the same thing this morning. And I asked the teens, would anybody like die for a friend? And they're like, no. Ain't happening. But then I brought it home a bit and said, would you die for mom and dad? And what was awesome to see moms and dads sitting here, they all nodded. Yeah, I would die for mom and dad. But like siblings have got bad news. They were like, maybe. Jesus didn't say maybe. He said must. I must bring them also. I must die for them so that the ones outside the window can experience my guidance and leadership in everyday life. Can experience me as their good shepherd. So that's the only promise I can make. If you decide tonight that you want to live inside of a relationship with God where he's this amazing person that has a bird's eye view of the entire world and your life, and he has his Son and the power of his Holy Spirit in relationship with Him to go, how about you rather make that decision? There's a comma in this, and we need to take heed of this comma. I must bring them also. Salvation is available to you tonight if you are willing to listen to His voice. That's what it says. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Will you listen to the voice of God tonight? Calling you inside the flock of Christ. If that's you, we're going to pray with you a bit later. But tonight I'm also going to speak to those who claim to be inside the flock, who claim to have heard the voice of God, and their Facebook status says Christian. I think it's all of us here. Something that deeply disturbs me, friends, is our arrogance inside the flock. Once we tick the Christian box, notice what this text says. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Often I hear people say this, oh, that church. Oh, those Christians. Oh, wow. Who are we? And tonight I just want to guide us to a one flock mentality. A one flock kind of lens. Where we can see other churches and other Christians worshiping God in their unique way. And we can celebrate that they're worshiping God instead of this world. Oh, we, like, I said it the other day, we're all chops. Like the text calls us sheep. So chops, sheep, you get it? But none of these chops here are the same. Like some said the other day, I love listening to classical music. I don't. I fall asleep. But we have churches that listen to classical music and they are sheep, His sheep, because they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and their good shepherd. That should be our only lens. Do they profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and follow Him wholeheartedly? I don't care if they are pink sheep, blue sheep, multicolored sheep. Look, we are multicolored sheep. That wall changes color. We are multicolored sheep. I don't care if they are classical or heavy metal sheep, as long as they're heavy metal Christian. I'm kind of okay with it. But come on. Let us look through that lens. Do they believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says? And if they want to run around in their church with flags, that's okay, but I don't do it. Because I'm not that kind of sheep with a flag. If they want to do that, it's okay. Let's pray for them that they encounter God every day as their good shepherd, in their own special way. The same for us. I hope that they're praying the same prayer over us, that we will grow in our relationship with God. Because this text says there'll be one flock and one shepherd. And I hope that we are not that kind of flock that goes, well, we're going to heaven because we sing four songs and pray and take up the offering. Come on. Come on. There'll be one flock, one shepherd. And can I put this in there? One heaven, one hell. Are you hearing the voice of the good shepherd tonight who wants to lead you through this life? Where you and I can celebrate with other people of other churches and one day rock up in heaven and go, oh, they allow pink tutu sheep in heaven. cool. And they'll probably go, they allow classical, cheap in heaven. Cool, there's a classical section over there and there's a pink tutu section over there. But we all worship God together. That's where Revelation, the same author of the gospel, writes. And I see them dressed in white robes, thousands upon thousands, worshiping the King of Glory. One flock, one shepherd. Do you know the one shepherd tonight? Do you hear him calling you to become part of his flock? Where in heaven we celebrate together, regardless of our preference. Them also I must bring. Come to him tonight. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And that with texts like these, you make it perfectly clear what your plan was when you arrived on planet Earth. That your plan was first to sort out those inside the shop, the Jews, Israel. But that you declared that them also, the Gentiles, us sitting here tonight, that you want each and every single one of us to have a relationship with you. And so I just want to guide you tonight, if you're that person that's been outside of the glass window for a very, very long time, you've been far away from God. If you are that person tonight that wants to experience a life of guidance, a life of unconditional love and care, where the Son of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, leads and guides you through everyday life. You might be standing on the outside of the window that's been shattered, looking in from a distance, seeing other Christians live this life that they've been called to faithfully. You can see that they're devoted and passionate about their Savior, about their God. And tonight you're sitting here wondering, maybe I should give this a try. Know that God is calling you tonight. He's knocking at the door of your heart saying, come inside. Come have a look at what I have planned for you. Wonderful plan. If that's you tonight, we just want to pray with you. Pastor John and myself are here, and we'll make ourselves available to you. If you just want to come chat to us afterwards, that'll be fantastic. And if you're sitting here tonight and you know that you've given your life to Christ, you've walked through the shattered glass window into a relationship with Christ, but you sometimes find yourself dissing other churches and other Christians for their unique preference. May we pray and repent of that tonight, knowing that God has called us to one flock, for He is one shepherd. And may we uphold other churches in prayer, other Christians in prayer, that regardless of their preference, that they would seek God and an intimate relationship with Him above all else. And that together, those who've just given their hearts to Christ, those who've been Christians for a very, very long time, together that we can celebrate and worship God in heaven as one flock. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll guide us tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing song tonight is